Official, it's Danielle Fishel.
Ryder Strong.
And Will Friedle from Pod Meets World.
Does friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste.
Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten.
Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party.
So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles.
Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. A lot happening up on Capitol Hill right now. So we've got the House version of what happened in the Senate going on. Kash Patel is testifying before House Judiciary. Jim Jordan leading the charge there. We'll be dipping into the coverage periodically through the day. Write down our telephone number. You're going to need this. 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. So I want to talk about something here that is a little concerning, and it needs to be discussed just so you're aware of what's happening in the aftermath of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and a lot of moving parts. And one of the things that that we need to be focused on is something called the Bill of Rights, and we need to make sure that the Trump Justice Department doesn't exactly set our freedoms, our civil liberties on fire here. And that is something that happens quite a bit during these Republican administrations. Whenever there is a national tragedy, a national calamity, whenever that happens, the Republicans chip away at our freedoms and our civil liberties. And if you remember what happened after 9/11 with the creation of the Patriot Act, and now when you walk into any airport in the nation, it's almost as if you're walking into a foreign country. We have an entire generation of people, almost 25 years now, so an entire generation of young people have no idea that in the past you could just walk to the gate of the airport. You didn't have to take off your shoes, and you didn't have to get manhandled or molested or felt up by a TSA agent with cold, clammy hands. You didn't have any of that. And then look at what happened during the China virus, where they shut down our businesses, they shut down the schools, shut down our churches. And now you've got Pam Bondi and the Justice Department coming out and suggesting that they're going to be going after hate speech, and that you could be arrested for hate speech in America. And she specifically called out a case against Home Depot. Now, we have the story. We have this Home Depot story up on our website. And it was a pretty disgusting, despicable thing that happened. So you had the local Republican Party in Kalamazoo, and they were hosting a memorial vigil for Charlie. So they wanted some flyers printed up, and the way it works at Office Depot, apparently, I haven't had anything printed there, but the way the story goes, you had to prepay, and so they prepaid, went to go pick up their order, and they were told, oh, no, we're not printing those because those posters are political propaganda. And they said, well, no, there's nothing political about this. It's just that we're having a prayer vigil for Charlie Kirk. And they said, well, that's what makes it political propaganda. And you had these two woke employees, I think three maybe, and my understanding is they were all fired, that Office Depot profusely apologized. And that was that. But that's not that, because now Pam Bondi is coming out, and she's saying businesses cannot discriminate. If you want to go in and print posters with Charlie's picture on them for a vigil, you have to let them do that. So Pam Bondi says, our government, our way of life, our founding documents demand that you do as you are instructed to do by the customer. Pam Bondi on Hannity's show says, we can prosecute you for that. I want to read you the exact quote. If you want to go in and print posters with Charlie's pictures on them for a vigil, you have to let them do that. We can prosecute you for that. That's what Pam Bondi said on Sean Hannity's program. She went on to say, quote, I have Harmeet Dhillon right now in our civil rights unit looking at that immediately. That Office Depot had done that. We're looking it up. Wait, what? Why is that a crime? Why? What do you mean prosecutable? Because it seems to me that, I don't know, we went to the Supreme Court over this for years. For years, we've been telling you about Christian business owners who have not wanted to print something because it violates their religious beliefs. It violates their conscience. I believe, as a matter of fact, in some, they didn't even go after the religious angle. It violated their conscience. And in this instance, Home Depot actually apologized. We're really sorry this happened to you. These staffers, they went against our company policies. So what are they going to, is the government going to go in? Are they going to arrest the Office Depot workers here for being idiots? I didn't realize it was a crime to be an idiot in America. I mean, Office Depot seemed to be pretty sincere in their apology. I mean, maybe they weren't. So my question is now to Pam Bondi, does this mean that the Christians have to bake the cakes and the Christian photographers have to take the wedding pictures at the gay marriages now? Is that the official opinion of this government? And I've got a problem with that. I don't believe the government has any right to go in and tell Office Depot, this is what you have to do. I believe that is the right of the customer. And it seems to me that MAGA World was entirely capable of dealing with the Office Depot problem. You know how we do that? We protest. We call Office Depot headquarters. We boycott their business. And if they don't comply, well, they go out of business. I mean, the same thing happened with Target. So are we going to go after Target now again? I'm just asking here because this is very concerning where this Justice Department is going right now. And that's not the only one. As a matter of fact, there was another Justice Department official, the deputy, and he was on CNN, and CNN brought up these dinners. Remember, it was last week. It's just, man, it feels like we've had like 3 months go by in the span of a week. Remember last week, President Trump going out to dinner in Washington, D.C., and he walked into the fancy restaurant, and there were the protesters, the Palestinian protesters, right? And they got up in Trump's grill. And they were chanting, they were waving Palestinian flags, and people were really rightfully upset about all of this. And by the way, don't get me wrong, I'm enraged over what happened to that Office Depot. But I don't believe the government should be stepping in and telling Office Depot what they can and cannot print. So let's, again, back up to what happened with these protesters. Now, for me, the bigger story is, who leaked the information? Trump was going to this restaurant. It was a last-minute thing. Not a lot of people knew about it. Well, who leaked that information to the Palestinian protesters? That's question number one. Question number two, how did the pro-Palestinian protesters get into the restaurant? Number three, were the people in the restaurant, were they searched? Were they frisked? Was there some sort of an ID check? Typically, when the president is going somewhere, people go through some sort of a security checkpoint. You have to show your ID. You've got to prove you are who you say you are. Did any of those things happen? Because it seems to me that what happened inside that restaurant is a security failure, and not a crackdown on free speech, which, by the way, is not free if you are in someone's private establishment. But that's not what the Trump DOJ is talking about here, and I want you to listen to cut number six.
I've asked Pam to look into that in terms of RICO, bringing RICO cases against the criminal RICO, because they should be put in jail.
As you know, RICO has been used to go after, like, Al-Qaeda, MS-13, the Gambino family. How would something like that protest fall under a RICO charge?
That's not what we use RICO for only. RICO is available to all kinds of organizations committing crimes and committing wrongful acts, not just organized crime or ISIS or terrorist organizations. And so it depends. So is it, again, sheer happenstance that individuals show up at a restaurant where the president is trying to enjoy dinner in Washington, D.C., and accost him with vile words and vile anger, and meanwhile he's simply trying to have dinner? Does it mean it's just completely random that they showed up? Maybe. Maybe, but to the extent that it's part of an organized effort to inflict harm and terror and damage to the United States, there's potential investigations there. And that's what the president was saying yesterday in the Oval Office, and what he also has said in the days before that as well.
But were those women in the restaurant inflicting harm or terror or damage by protesting the president of the United States? I mean, they were just shouting, basically, in his vicinity.
I mean, repeat what you just said. I mean, honestly, so you're asking whether there's damage done by four individuals screaming and yelling at the president of our United States while he's trying to have dinner. That can't be a serious question. That cannot be a serious question. I mean, it's true that there's a difference
people
between shouting
can protest the
and
president.
committing an assassination,
there are supporters outside
which is what happened
well.
to Charlie. Well, it depends. There's nothing wrong with peaceful protests, and nobody has ever said so. Of all the people in this country, President Trump knows exactly what it's like to have people protest against him. But what he's talking about and what the administration is talking about is organized efforts by individuals who are not present at the protests, but they're funding these protests, and they're not protests. They're inflicting damage and harm and actually assaulting officers. They're damaging vehicles. And that's the conduct that we're trying to stop.
Well, I mean, people would argue about the ability to have free speech and to protest the government and criticize the government.
So nobody, by the way, there was no violence, but there could have been. And again, I see what happened in that restaurant as being more of a security breach and a security failure within the Secret Service than anything else. But I've already started getting, and I knew this was going to happen, but I'm already starting to get comments from people saying, Todd, you're taking Pam Bondi out of context. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the entire clip for you. This is what Pam Bondi said just the other night on Hannity.
And employers, you have an obligation to get rid of people. You need to look at people who are saying horrible things, and they shouldn't be working with you. Businesses cannot discriminate. If you want to go in and print posters with Charlie's pictures on them for a vigil, you have to let them do that. We can prosecute you for that. I have Harmeet Dhillon right now in our civil rights unit looking at that immediately, that Office Depot had done that. We're looking at that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my question is, are you okay with that? Do you believe that we should have a crackdown on any speech that offends conservatives? Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I feel obligated again to say they still haven't released the Epstein files. We still don't have the information about the Trump assassin. We still don't have the JFK files or all of the MLK files or the RFK files. Just want to throw that out because they're telling us they're eventually going to release this information. But so far, we haven't seen it. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about something I'm really excited about. It's more important today than ever. It's called Freedom Chat, a next-gen messaging app designed for people who still believe in privacy and free speech. The team just launched their alpha version, and it's available today on both Android and iPhone, and I'd like you to download it right now. Unlike the so-called free apps that spy on you, sell your data, Freedom Chat was built with your privacy first. Your messages are end-to-end encrypted. They're not stored on servers. Even screenshots are blocked. No tracking, no mining, no listening in. Just private communication the way it ought to be. And here's something I especially like. Freedom Chat has no ties to big tech. It's built by people that I trust, and you should too. I believe in it so much, I've created my own private channel inside Freedom Chat at Todd Starnes, which you can subscribe to. That's freedomchat.com, where freedom still means something. Freedomchat.com. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Some breaking news out of Phoenix, where the bomb squad showing up at Turning Point USA headquarters. They're investigating some sort of an unknown bag outside of the building. So just so you know, they've erected these fences around the building, and there are makeshift memorials. And apparently, they found a bag that somebody left. Nobody knows what it is. The bomb squad is there, and police say they don't think there's any threat to the public. So there you go. We'll keep you updated, and we're going to have these sorts of things. By the way, there is now a call to make Charlie's get this correct here, from our friends at Students for Life. They are now calling for Charlie Kirk's birthday to become a national holiday. According to Students for Life, Charlie Kirk dedicated his life to defending free speech and inspiring a generation boldly. This is coming from Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life. In his honor, we're calling on Congress to make October 14th, Charlie's birthday, a national holiday called Charlie Kirk Free Speech Day. Our highly fractured country needs to remember that peacefully talking with each other represents a foundational virtue. So there you go. What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? Charlie Kirk Day here in America. That coming from Students for Life. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Look, here's the deal with speech. And I understand that there's a lot of anger, and it is all righteous. Every single bit of it is incredibly righteous. But if you are going to go around and say, you can't say that because that's hate speech, look, that works both ways. The left can do the same thing. And they have done the same. They have been doing it for a very long time. So my question to the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, is who gets to make that determination? Who in the Justice Department, who in the administration gets to make the determination that speech is hate speech? Is this going to be done by a single person? Will there be a, I don't know, hate speech czar? I mean, is that what we're talking about? Will there be a committee? Maybe a select committee chosen from Republicans and Democrats across the aisle that will determine whether or not there is hate speech involved here. As a matter of fact, there are even calls to start cracking down on conservative talk radio. And that's coming from industry insiders who say that part of the problem and the reason why things are so tense in this nation is because of talk radio. So I want to address that for just a moment as a talk radio host, broadcasting on 170 radio stations around the nation. I want to address that for just a moment. We are the outlet for people to voice their concerns. If nothing else, radio, and especially talk radio, and shows like this where people get to call in and they get to voice their opinion, talk radio is the release valve so that people can unleash on air in a peaceful way. So if you ask me, I think talk radio is actually helping alleviate a lot of the frustration and a lot of the pressure that is building up in this country right now. And I would encourage Congress to be very, very careful, because once you start going after our freedoms, it is a slippery slope. And we saw that with the China virus, and we also saw it after 9/11, where our civil liberties were ravaged. And we've never recovered. We really haven't recovered as a nation from those days. And we're still struggling in the aftermath of the China virus attacks on civil liberty. All right, we've got to take a break here. We will go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Do you believe that there should be some limitations here? Do you believe Pam Bondi ought to go after Office Depot? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch, and it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketch is imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/Stearns and become a premium Angel Guild member today. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and a lot of questions coming in. And look, here's the deal. You guys know me. I am not a – I don't like going down the conspiracy rabbit hole. I just have a whole lot of questions about what's going on with the investigation, with these attacks on civil liberties that are coming from our fellow Republicans. It's all very strange. Let's go to Richard in Gainesville, Georgia. And Richard, I understand you're an Army veteran. God bless you for your service, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, God bless you for your show. You're the top talk show host in the world. And at such a time as this, you're very critical to the taking our nation back. I'd like to talk about the president's security and then Charlie Kirk, too. All this security stuff is just so lax right now. As an Army veteran, first thing you learn is, you know, secure the perimeter. They didn't secure the perimeter at all in Butler or with Charlie Kirk. This is unacceptable. And the president walking into that restaurant with the knives on the table and these crazy the people that supported the terrorists. And the security Secret Service was behind the president. They weren't even in between the president and these protesters. This is unacceptable. And you got the same three-letter agencies in charge that were in charge when they killed President Kennedy. And it's a terrible time. I mean, you know, last week with Charlie Kirk and that poor girl on the train, I'm just at the brink of tears 24 hours a day. Staying up hours at night where you can't even get back to sleep. I've never thought a country would come to this.
Richard, I think all of us are just still so stunned over what happened. And I think it is an absolutely fair comparison to what people in 1963 in November in Dallas saw and how the nation responded there. What happened in the aftermath of MLK's assassination. And for these young people, you know, and for anyone who saw that video, you will not be able to unsee that. You're just, I mean, that's just the way it is. But Richard, I want to circle back to something you said, because I'm with you, and we had a couple of police experts on the show yesterday. These are just some observations about the scene there at Utah Valley University. First of all, I'd like to know why that particular school, why did they decide to launch the event there? I'd be curious to know about security. What were the security details? They know that Charlie's been getting a lot of threats. We all get lots of threats. But to be on a campus like that, surrounded by all those kids, what was the security situation like and who was responsible for that? You know what else I'm concerned about, Richard? Why wasn't there an ambulance pre-positioned there as part of the security detail and apparatus? It just seems to me there should have been some sort of medical personnel on standby just in case. And we didn't see that as well. You know, they had to carry poor Charlie into an SUV and rush him to the hospital.
God, I'm an Army medic. I agree with you 100%. And let's go back to Butler, PA. If you remember listening to the video when our president got shot in the ear, nearly in his head, and he went down, replay the sound and you hear bing, bing, bing. That's an M16, a 5.56 caliber bullet, very small. The next five shots were boom, 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 boom. It's at least an M14 or a 7.62 round. It could have been a 30-06. But there's a distinct difference between the first three and the last five. And why would they let eight shells go off towards our president before they took out one of the shooters?
Okay.
Those lead bullets were recovered, and they should have let us know that, wow, we got two different calibers here. There was probably two different shooters.
Well, and the issue there is, once again, the Attorney General of the United States has not released any information about that. And there's no excuse. There's none whatsoever. We know more about the 22-year-old who shot Charlie Kirk than we do the kid who shot President Trump. That, it makes no sense to me. And that is just simply unacceptable, Richard. But I'm with you. A lot of questions about what happened, a lot of questions about security. It's just unbelievable what happened. Richard, God bless you, and thank you for listening to us. Let's go to Barbara in North Carolina, listening to us on the Talk Station. Hi, Barbara. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
Good, good, good.
I'm just thinking about all this stuff that's considered hate speech. And, you know, I was this morning thinking about John the Baptist, who got beheaded because he dared to confront Herod for sleeping with his brother's wife. And then you have Jesus, who confronted the Pharisees all the time. I mean, he said things like, you encompass land and sea to turn one convert to Judaism, and then you make him twice the child of hell that you are yourself. I mean, the thing is, it's not Charlie's the messenger. The problem is, it's this antichrist, we hate God, or anything that has to do with God. We don't want to hear what is sin and what is not sin. We want to be free to sin, and we don't want to feel guilty about it. And it's like, if you say anything that confronts those things, it's the same spirit that beheaded John the Baptist. You know, it's still here. It's the antichrist thing that we're not, you know, if we say anything about right or wrong, then we're considered evil and we're considered haters. I mean, and I can disagree with somebody all day long, but I'm not going to go out and shoot him. You know, it's just so crazy that we've had all these people like Steve Scalise, Donald Trump, and now Charlie, and all the people on the baseball field that were with Steve that got wounded. And nothing ever seems to be too bad about that.
You understand, Barbara? Barbara, just think about this. I want to go back to Steve Scalise. And Steve Scalise nearly lost his life, but had that gunman not been taken down, we could have lost much of the Republican leadership in the House of Representatives. That's how dangerous that was. As horrible as it was, it could have been so much worse. And again, that was an avowed Bernie Sanders supporter. By the way, Bernie Sanders staffers, thanks to our friends, it was Project Veritas, James O'Keefe. But James O'Keefe at the time, talking undercover to Bernie Sanders staffers, said that one of the first things they would do if Bernie Sanders got elected is that they would put MAGA people, MAGA voters in re-education camps, all on video. That was all captured on video. So Barbara, I mean, when, you know, you want to talk about left, you know, versus right, or both sides need to tone down the rhetoric. No, ma'am. Only one side's out there killing people.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's so sad to see it because you don't think that we've been silenced. How many people were afraid to put a Trump sign in their yard? How many people were afraid to put a Trump bumper sticker on their car? How many people were afraid to say anything on social media? you know, we talk about it, but we have been silenced to a point because there's a lot of people that wouldn't do it and wouldn't even say who they were voting for fear that, something was going to happen to them. I don't see the left worry about us shooting them because we don't. But it's true. I mean, we have been silenced, and I hope that this is a wake-up call. As Charlie said, he was going to say it, whatever the cost. And that's the thing, you know. We've got to shake off all this fear that we've been that has been put on us. I mean, I've been doing a lot of soul searching lately because I'm like, you know, Lord, yes, I have been shut down in some ways. I have been afraid to say things. And, you know, because that's the political environment. They can say whatever they want and they don't care. But if we do, we're haters.
You know,
and
Barbara,
that's just the way it is.
Gosh, it was 5 or 6 years ago when I started noticing this. And it really struck me as I was puzzled. People, whenever I go out and do a speech and I'm one of these guys, I love to meet everybody. And, you know, if we're doing a book signing, Barbara, I am there signing until the last person, you know, comes through the line. And that's just the way I do things. And my philosophy is if you're taking the time to come and hear me speak and you're buying one of my books, then the least I can do is shake your hand or, you know, or sign your book. So people without fail, people always say this, Barbara, I don't know how you have the courage to say what you say. And I'm thinking to myself, what exactly am I saying that takes so much courage? I'm just saying what I believe, and those beliefs haven't changed at all, Barbara. And I get a lot of hate from both sides because I know there are many on the evangelical side, you need to condemn these people for that. And, you know, I do believe that God commands us to love everybody, but at the same time, we also live in a constitutional republic, right? So those people have a right to live their lives however they see fit. You know, I don't have to endorse it. When they force me to try to do that, then that's when I'm going to have a problem. But, you know, I catch it from everybody. But at the end of the day, Barbara, I'm going to say what needs to be said.
Yes, I've lost a lot of friends on social media because I do speak out, but I'm like, you know, how much of that little bit of fear is in there? If I put that sign in my yard, or will they come after my children? It's a terrible, terrible thing to live in the United States of America and know that we think that way because that's all we ever get. We can't, you know, it's like I said, John the Baptist, he confronted Herod about sleeping with his brother's wife, and they beheaded him.
That's true. It's true. All right, Barbara, thank you for calling in. By the way, speaking of that, so yesterday, it was the day before yesterday, I wrote this. I had to vent. I've lost a lot of people. A lot of people have unfriended me, and I'm glad. You know, I would used to feel bad about that. I'm like, oh, geez, Alou. But now I don't care. Go, get out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with you. If you believe it's okay to assassinate somebody, you need Jesus. You don't need me. You need Jesus. But I've lost a lot of people. And here's the thing. And Dylan, you know this, because I get people always ask me, how come, Todd, how come you don't post more stuff on your personal private Facebook page? And one of the reasons why, for the longest time, there are liberals that are friends of mine, and they would get offended. So I was trying to be respectful. Those days are over. You get offended, unfollow me.
That's a good philosophy to live by. It shows the true colors of people.
I'm tolerant. I allow a lot of people that support the Crimson Tide to follow my page. I'm a very tolerant person. Even some Georgia Bulldogs fans. Mm. 901-260-5. Oh, anyway, let me give you the phone number. 901-260-5926. But let me finish my story. So I posted the long screen. I was getting off on a tangent. So I post the long screen. My blood pressure is coming down. And I decided to have a little, you know, throw a little line in there about how I also believe that Dr. Pepper will cure all of your ails. And that if John the Baptist used the King James Version, that it's good enough for me. Well, all hell broke loose. Who do you think you are? You heathen? Nobody reads the King James Version anymore. Are you saying any other version of the Bible is not a real version? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, if you read the Holman Christian Southern Baptist Bible, you're going to hell. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Jeez, Lou, it's a joke, people. I'm telling you, I got hate mail. What do you mean you like Dr. Pepper? What's wrong with Mr. Pibb? Well, Mr. Pibb's not a doctor. When Mr. Pibb goes to medical school, we'll have the conversation. Get off my page! We'll be right back. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last.
Hey, Doug. I just want to say I think Pam Bondi's probably a fine person. Her heart's in the right place, but she ain't ready for this job. I always wanted Ted Cruz, but I'm afraid of losing his valuable leadership in the Senate. So, what do you think? Would Ted Cruz be good? Could we afford to lose him? Another suggestion I think would be great would, how about if Judge Dineen and Pam just traded places like 15 minutes ago? Curious to hear your thoughts. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry, from North Little Rock, Arkansas. KARN, our terrific affiliate out in those parts. You know, that's a great question. And I think, honestly, Jeanine Pirro, I cherish this woman. She is a brilliant legal scholar. She is a fierce warrior, and she hates evil. And she also knows when to keep her mouth shut and when to go in front of the cameras. And that is something that Pam Bondi has not been able to master just yet. It's a tough thing. Pam Bondi and a lot of these Fox News people, it's hard for them to take off their commentator hat or show host hat and then become basically, I don't want to say a nobody, but you almost have to be an anonymous person in the administration. It's all about Donald J. Trump. He's the man. And your job is to carry out the man's plan. So I think Jeanine would be a perfect fit for the attorney general. Ted Cruz, I think we need him in the Senate. I'd like to see him on the Supreme Court, to be perfectly honest with you. I sure would. But I'm not sure if there is there another conservative in Texas that would be able to jump into the Senate race and win. That's the other big question. So I would keep Ted Cruz in the Senate right now. That's what I would do. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Todd, this has been going on for a long time, but and the Pam Bondi comments just triggered me again. All these politicians and appointees, and everybody gets up and they start, we need a law for this. We got to do this. We got to do that. Why don't we try enforcing the laws we have and see how many of our problems get solved? 99% of the bad stuff you hear, everybody crying about, we got to do something about this. There's already laws written that cover it. They just don't get enforced. The whole immigration thing was a violation of immigration laws, and everybody's standing around. What can we do about it? You can enforce the dang laws you've already passed.
It's a fair point. Look at the Second Amendment. How many laws on the books do we already have, and they're just not enforcing the laws that are there? Or look at what's happening in Memphis right now. The reason why Trump is sending in the National Guard is because city leaders, all Democrats, and they've been Democrats for generations, city Democrats refuse to enforce laws. I mean, it's that simple.
I've said for years there needs to be some kind of performance standard for people in the Justice Department, whether they be judges or prosecutors or whatever. You need to, I mean, how many jobs do you know that are have that much responsibility out in public life that you don't go through some kind of performance review every year in your job? And if you aren't holding your job, if you aren't performing up to the standards expected of that job, you get replaced.
Well, no doubt about that. You certainly do. And Steve, we'll have to end it there. Good hearing from you, my friend. Coming up, we're going to Mississippi. Two stories out of there. You're not going to believe this. A Republican majority city council takes a shot at Charlie Kirk. Unbelievable story. Coming up next, stick around. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just don't get the media. Just when you think they could not get any worse, they can. And they do. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. I just realized as we're going to this segment, I'm completely unorganized. I can't find my cut list, Dylan. Matt Gutman is an ABC News reporter, and he was dispatched to Utah to cover the Charlie Kirk assassination and was going through the text messages between the alleged killer, the alleged assassin, now the accused assassin, and his transgender furry lover. And by furry, I don't mean that he's, you know, overtly hairy, but he is involved in the furry sex culture. And it's a really creepy kind of a thing. So anyway, they've got these, they released the text messages, and I've had a chance to go through, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. I find it very hard to believe that those text messages were written by a 22-year-old, because I don't know of anyone under the age of 30 that still uses punctuation or complete sentences, but that's just me. So anyway, Matt Gutman from ABC News going through and reading these texts, and I want you to listen to how he framed the argument.
We have seen an alleged murder with such specific text messages about the alleged murder weapon, where it was hidden, how it was placed, what was on it. But also, it was very touching in a way that I think many of us didn't expect. A very intimate portrait into this relationship between the suspect's roommate and the suspect himself, with him repeatedly calling his roommate, who is transitioning, calling him my love, and I want to protect you, my love. So it was this duality of someone who the attorney said not only jeopardized the life of Charlie Kirk and the crowd, but was doing it in front of children, which is one of the aggravating circumstances of this case. And on the other hand, he was, you know, speaking so lovingly about his partner. So a very interesting and, as Pierre said, riveting press conference, David.
I'm kind of grossed out right now. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of grossed out right now. Dylan, I have a question. I mean, you're a little, just a few years older than the suspect here. When you were wooing, courting the Mrs. Producer, did you use that sort of language, my love?
No, not really.
Yeah. You know why? Because you're a man.
Yes.
Just saying. All right. Thank you for
Thanks
that.
Thanks for affirming that.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to do it. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. More on that in just a moment, because there's another angle to this story out of all places, Hernando, Mississippi, which is a beautiful community, beautiful town. I go there for farmers market in the summer and the fall and love it. We have a lot of farmers in that area that, and there's a huge ag community down there. and they all listen to the show, very conservative people, and it's a supermajority red area of North Mississippi. But last night at the Board of Aldermen meeting, they decided the overwhelming majority Republican Board of Aldermen rejected a motion to name a street after Charlie Kirk. Well, I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have local political pundit John Williams, who brought the story to my attention last night. And John, I appreciate you doing that. What's going on here?
Well, first of all, Todd, thank you for having me. So, yeah, the Hernando Board of Aldermen had a chance to do something simple, something right. One of the aldermen and I sort of worked on this together over the weekend, Kitchens, and he introduced the motion to simply rename a street in our town in honor of Charlie Kirk. And this was a chance for our city's, like you mentioned, the Republican supermajority board to honor a true American patriot who lost his life on the battlefield of ideas. But instead of rising to the moment, all but one of these Republicans folded like a cheap suit. And rather than leading by conviction, if you will, they cowered to the radical left in the room, and they turned their backs on the values that they campaigned on every single election season, and it's just disgusting.
It's just really heartbreaking because, again, Hernando, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is DeSoto County, Mississippi. This is a rock-solid red area.
Absolutely. I mean, nearly 90% of the community voted for Trump, and you know, we have a strong MAGA and conservative and, more importantly, Christian foundation to our community. And, you know, we are electing people, I guess, that we think are conservative, but they're not. And that's the bottom line.
I know one of the – yeah, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say one of the arguments, and I know you had a lot of the the protesters show up, the libtards, as we call them on this program – and it seems to me they sort of over. It seems like they overwhelmed and pretty much took charge of the meeting.
They did, and there's two problems there. I think the general consensus by the board and the majority of people that attended the meeting was that they didn't want to do this because Charlie Kirk is too decisive. And the issue I take with that is, you know, if you summarized what Charlie stood for, I think three adjectives or three core values would be faith, family, and freedom. I think that's pretty fair to say. And if those concepts divide us here in Hernando, then the problem isn't the name on the road sign. It's the folks in the boardroom.
Wow, that's a good way to put it. I know another of the complaints or the arguments was, well, we don't need to be naming streets after people that do not live in Hernando, Mississippi. And I understand that, but there's also a street named after Martin Luther King Jr. in Hernando. Isn't that right?
That's correct. And that was just done a few years ago. And one gentleman spoke at the meeting about a local Lance Corporal, Josh Osi, who died in Afghanistan about 15 years ago. And said, you know, why don't we name street, change this motion and name this street after him? And, you know, I fully support Josh Murphy having a street named after him. And my question is, the same Board of Aldermen that renamed that street Martin Luther King Jr., after Martin Luther King Jr. a few years ago, in the last 15 years, any one of them could have made a motion to rename a street in honor of Josh Osi. So we don't, it's not a question of, you know, do we have to do one or the other? Todd, we can do both. And I fully support that.
A lot of streets in Hernando, so I'm sure, you know, it's not like we're running short here.
Well, and they're steadily building new ones, so they may be surprised when some of these developers come out with what they want to name their new streets after.
Well, this is really unfortunate, and I hate the count. And you're telling me, I mean, it was like a supermajority of Republicans on the Board of Aldermen, right?
Yes, there are seven board members, seven aldermen, and six of the seven all campaign as Republicans, all campaign as, you know, supporting family and Christian and conservative values. And the Alderman Kitchen's motion couldn't even get a second. It's not as if they rejected it. He couldn't even get a second on the motion. It wasn't even considered.
That's unacceptable. You know what the problem is? You got some people on that board that aren't really Republicans.
That's exactly right. And I will do everything in my power to expose them for, you know, for who they are. Their true colors showed last night, and I will not stop, and I make no apologies for it.
Well, is this a done deal now? I mean, can you go back and try to get them to reconsider?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this isn't over. As God is my witness, Todd, Hernando will honor Charlie Kirk one way or another, because at the end of the day, our community deserves leaders who will stand tall for Christian and conservative values, and that's what this fight is really about.
You know what I would do?
We're not stopping.
And, John, here's the deal. When you guys have that next meeting, you let me know a week or so in advance, and we'll make sure there's a big crowd there. But second of all, I think you guys, if they do not reconsider this, I think you ought to look at pulling some recall petitions and get some real conservatives on that board of aldermen.
Well, that would be nice, except there's not a provision to do that in Mississippi. There was a Senate bill last year, last session, to do that, and it died on the floor. And so I will do some more research, but from my understanding, there is no provision for us to recall any of those officials.
Well, all right. Well, John, we appreciate you alerting us to the story, and I hope that City Hall's been getting a few phone calls today. As a result of shining a little bit of light on this.
Absolutely, and we appreciate your help in doing that and standing up for the same values that Charlie stood for, and I hope this is a wake-up call to all of us, especially to the men of America, that we all need to step up and do more.
Yeah, well said. By the way, John, if you're in Hernando, you got to stop by. There's a great restaurant right off the square called Junior's Eaton House.
Sure. Sure.
There, it's owned by conservatives, and they got great food.
Yeah, and I would also add the best seafood and the best restaurant around, in my opinion, is owned by the same gentleman as is the Parish. Mm-hmm. I grew up with this guy, and he was when I was at Ole Miss, he was in culinary school, and I'm telling you, Todd, this guy could cook shoe leather, and it would be good.
I recommend
the Parish.
All right. Well, John, I'm writing that down. All right. Well, you go over, and when you do, tell him you heard about him on the Todd Stern Show. Jim LoSapio, the owner, a good friend of ours. John, thank you. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Real quick, let's go to Bowling Green, Kentucky. Pastor John, I know you want to weigh in on this street controversy.
You know, Todd, the gentleman already said the point that there's no provisions in that city's constitution that they need to recall those so-called conservatives. I think it's a really big disappointment, especially when they espouse one thing and then they talk out the other end. And you know what I'm talking about, the other end. And it's just really sad. It breaks my heart. And I just wanted to say that real quick, Todd. I know this is totally off subject, but look, I wanted to say thank you. I wanted to thank you for letting us do, as what they call, a corporate morning on the air and letting a lot of people vent. Because right now, as a combat vet, I'm not going to tell you how I really feel about what happened to Charlie Kirk. But I wanted to thank you for providing venue to your listeners. Because right now, you have a lot of angry people at the left. And it's really hard. You know, the term about forgiveness, it's really not easy in my vernacular right now. And I just need it, and I really mean this in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for providing us a place where we can go and speak and mourn together. And I just needed to say that to you, Todd. And please, I'm going to say this. I said on the air, in the name of all that's good and right, Todd, please increase your security. And you make sure you're protected, because you, my friend, I would consider a national treasure. And I really mean that. You got people that are willing to do it, take a bullet for you and protect you. God bless, Todd. Love you.
Well, Pastor, thank you for those kind words and the guidance, the advice as well. It's look, it's tough. I don't ever think about those kinds. I mean, yeah, we get a lot of death threats around here. That's kind of a regular thing. But I just, you know, I really don't think about it. Except yesterday, Dylan, I went out. You know, I'm doing the exercise, so I'm out at the park I go to, and there's a big lake. And so anyway. I'm minding my own business, and all of a sudden somebody zooms by on a bike, and it kind of startled me. And then they turn around and start yelling at me, and I'm like, oh! And then I'm like, uh-oh, geez, Lou.
Oh no!
Usually the only thing I have to worry about at that park are the geese, and they're demonic. They are. They're possessed. They're demons. Anyway, the guy stops and comes back, and I'm like, oh, man. And so it turned out to be Joey Zelopek, our good friend, the former Memphis weather guru.
Yes.
Who looks good in a bow tie. You know, not many people can pull that off.
That's true.
Zelopek can.
So he was good yelling at you.
Yeah, he and his wife, it was good yelling. So they're out there getting some exercise. So my heart did a couple of, my heart valve did a few extra rotations there. I thought, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. All right, when we come back, we've got an update on the National Guard. You know, they're coming to Memphis, and we'll tell you about that and what that might look like for your city as well, because we're getting word that St. Louis, you may be next. Also, Houston, they're even talking about you guys. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, all you folks in Memphis, Tennessee, there's going to be a big rally welcoming the National Guard to town. That's tomorrow at, and we'll give you more information about that on your local radio station there, KWAM. I want to go, though, to the phone lines. Our good friend Justin in Collierville, who runs the VFW, very involved in the VFW hall down there. And Justin, I understand you have some intel in the National Guard.
Yeah, so Todd, one of my friends that, because I used to be a Memphis police officer, so I have still a lot of relationships back with the department, and they called me last night and let me know, I guess, how everything was going with the National Guard. But what he was telling me is why I think everybody should be paying attention to this across the United States, because Memphis is kind of going to be the example of how to work around pro-criminal Democrat administration that don't necessarily support law enforcement efforts to reduce crime. So a couple of things that he told me, because the federal agents have already been here for a couple of months, and they have basically deputized local law enforcement to work with them. And they're not listening to anything that local law enforcement have to do here in Shelby County, which is a good thing. They are going after the most hardened criminals. They are chasing them, and they're doing everything that a law enforcement agency is supposed to be, which is direct polar opposite to actually how the Memphis Police Department has been operating for the last decade that has allowed this rise of crime. And another thing that I think will be instrumental in helping us in Shelby County reduce crime is because they're federal agents, they're already starting to work with other counties outside of Memphis, as Crittenden County that's in Arkansas, and also DeSoto County that's in Mississippi to take their prisoners. Because that is the biggest obstacle right now to being efficient and get criminals off the street. It's taking anywhere from 5 hours just to process prisoners. So they're already have that in mind. But, you know, we can't thank President Trump for taking the reins and starting to fix crime in Shelby County. It's already happened, but we're about to see efforts ramp up with, I think that's going to be, you're going to have checkpoints that will be working in cooperation with the National Guard. They'll be checking for things like expired tags, warrants, et cetera, which I think that will probably be the biggest thing to deter crime and break crime down, is because we're going to start enforcing the law in these crime-ridden neighborhoods.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. As a matter of fact, here is one of those Memphis residents talking about the National Guard. Cut number four, please.
You know, it's just so dangerous that you can't get out of your car, you can't go to the grocery store, you can't go to the market or the service station. So, yeah, I want to see the crime stop. And if the National Guard is going to stop the crime, bring them out.
Justin, I've got 10 seconds. That's got to make you feel good to hear citizens of Memphis talking like that.
Yeah, it feels good because I know what's going to happen here locally. A big economic driver for us is the Poplar Corridor that goes into East Memphis. And people in the suburbs have been terrified to go shop and dine within the Poplar Corridor.
Justin, so, I got to leave it there, my friend. That was more than 10 seconds. Computer's going to cut me off, Justin. It's going to be an economic windfall to Memphis. I can promise you that, my friend. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to go back to this Matt Gutman, ABC News, and Jimmy Kimmel thing. So, little Jimmy Kimmel, the late night host, this guy needs to get sued, and that's really all there is to it. All of these people out there accusing Charlie of being a racist, of being a Nazi or a white supremacist, they need to be hauled in to court for defamation. Now, here's the challenge. Charlie was a public figure, and it's hard if you're a public figure. It's hard to actually win those lawsuits. And the reason why is they, in the eyes of the courts, they look at someone like Charlie or me or Megyn Kelly or Tucker, Glenn Beck, they look at us like we are public figures, and you're able to get away with saying a lot of stuff about public figures. I'll give you a great example. There is, the Wikipedia is just insane, and they can write all of these lies about you. I've actually been banned, permanently banned from Wikipedia because I complain so much because they won't fix anything. And I was talking to our legal team about suing Wikipedia, and they said it's not going to do any good because you're a public figure and they can lie about you. They're allowed to do that. But something's got to be done here. So here's Jimmy Kimmel last night just blatantly lying, and this is supposed to be a late-night TV show. Take a listen.
He hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition. Construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish, okay?
Wow, what a jerk. Just unbelievably sad. And it's disgusting because this guy was not MAGA at all. He hated Charlie Kirk. He hated what Charlie Kirk stood for. So I want to then go back to these messages, these text messages, and I went through and read the charging documents last night, and it's just weird. The whole thing is weird. Now, I'm going to read through some of these, and I want to get your opinion on whether or not you think it's something just seems off. And I'm just wondering, do 22-year-olds write like this? So Tyler Robinson, writing to his gay lover slash transitioning furry roommate, and says, "I'm still okay, my love, but I'm stuck in Orem for a little while longer yet, period. Shouldn't be long until I come home." He actually added the punctuation. "Shouldn't be long until I can come home, but I got to grab my rifle still. To be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I die of old age. I am sorry to involve you." The gay lover writing, "You weren't the one who did it, right?" And he replies, "I am. I'm sorry. I thought they caught the person. No, they grabbed some crazy old dude, then interrogated someone in similar clothing. I had planned to grab my rifle from my drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering." Dylan, can you remember the last time you used the term lingering in a sentence?
I don't think I've ever used that word.
Also, I'm just curious to know, how did he know that there was some crazy old dude? How did he know that information?
Yeah.
Very strange. Very strange. He said, "There's one vehicle lingering. The gay furry transgender roommate said, why?" And he says, "Why did I do it?" And the gay transitioning furry roommate said, yeah. Well, I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I'm able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence. Going to attempt to retrieve it again. Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it. Does any of this sound weird to you? Because I've gotten a lot of text messages from people under the age of 30, and nobody writes like this. As a matter of fact, I'm normally having to ask people, what does this emoji mean? You Gen Zers, you use a lot of emojis. It's kind of like hieroglyphics, and I don't know what they mean. But this, I know what it means. It's disgusting and creepy and perverted, but I know what it means. So I suspect one of two things here is going on. Number one, the roommate was in on it, and they're trying to create these text messages for, you know, to I don't know, give this guy cover, or these are all fabricated. Or it could be this is the way they communicate. I don't know. But something's not right here. Something is just really, really off. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this as well, because I just don't know. And I asked this on X, and I mean, tons of people were weighing in on this. And they're saying, oh, yeah, this is not how my child writes. And they actually posted some of the text messages that they get from their 22-year-old kids. And it's just as I described. You can't even decipher what they're saying. No offense. I'm not saying you're illiterate. We just can't understand you.
It makes sense to us.
Isn't that the story of life?
It is, yes.
You don't understand me, Ma. You don't understand me.
You're not spelling anything right.
What is this? How many times have I sent Ben Dieter a note? What does this emoji mean? I don't understand. Speak English.
It's up to interpretation.
And it's now we're not even writing. We're just like, and now, by the way, you guys, your generation, you guys don't even return text messages.
It's worse now because now you can react to text messages. Like you can hold down the message if you're on iPhone and it'll give you like a thumbs up. It'll give you like maybe a smiley face, maybe an exclamation. So we don't even have to reply anymore because now we can just react.
I think we're moving back. We're devolving in our language. We're just going to be grunting at each other.
Yeah. This is why my generation.
Give it another 10 years.
People.
Yeah. Give it another 10 years. This is breaking news. The FCC chairman is now threatening immediate action against Jimmy Kimmel, ABC, and Disney for misleading the public by claiming Charlie Kirk's assassin was a MAGA conservative. Chairman Brendan Carr calls Kimmel's malicious lies truly sick and says they should result in Kimmel's immediate suspension and may lead to ABC losing its broadcast license. Chairman Carr confirms the agency has a strong case to hold Kimmel, ABC, and Disney accountable for spreading dangerous, politically motivated misinformation. Quote, this is a very serious issue right now for Disney. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to take action on Kimmel, or there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead. They have a license granted by us at the FCC, and that comes with it an obligation to operate in the public interest. There are calls for Kimmel to be fired. I think you could certainly see a path forward for suspension over this. So, going back to the original issue that we started talking about here, do you believe that ABC should lose its broadcasting license as a result of this, as a result of what Jimmy Kimmel said last night on The Late Show, or whatever they call that thing? The FCC going on to say they could make a strong argument that this is sort of an intentional effort to mislead the American people about a very core fundamental fact, a very important matter. Disney needs to see some changes here, but the individual licensed stations that are taking their content, it's time for them to step up and say this, you know, garbage, to the extent that what's come down the pipe in the future isn't something we think serves the needs of our local communities. Are we going to allow the government to make that determination? And I just want to put a pause here. What happens when we have Democrats in control of everything again and they decide to go after Fox News Channel or Newsmax or the Todd Starnes Show or the radio station that Todd Starnes owns? Because my radio station, we are under the same rules and regulations that ABC is. I have an FCC license, and we are obligated to do certain things under that license. Now, if what the FCC is saying here is that ABC is violating the rules and regulations, well, there's a price to pay for that, and they'll have to pay that price. But can they do that just to silence somebody like Jimmy Kimmel? And again, I believe that the American people, the TV viewers, need to make that determination and not the federal government. Because if we're about to set the stage here and set an example with Jimmy Kimmel to be fired, then when the Democrats take charge, they could turn around and force Fox News Channel to fire Sean Hannity or Jesse Waters or Greg Gutfeld. So you have to ask yourself, all right, where do you draw the line here? We are heading into some pretty treacherous waters when it comes to these kinds of issues. Now, for me, I've always believed in free speech. You get out there, you say, now there's a consequence for that, right? And I think the left is learning that. The right, we've been dealing with that issue for generations now. And the left is discovering it's not all that fun. There's a price to pay. And maybe, just maybe, we come out of all of this and the left understands, you know what, I need to keep my mouth shut. That could be, but do you really want the government stepping in and shutting somebody's mouth? That's the bigger question. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Guess who's watching Rob Finnerty on Newsmax? President Trump. That's right. Says Finnerty's show is terrific. Millions joining President Trump to watch Finnerty every night, 8 o'clock Eastern, on Newsmax. All this week, Rob looks at the media's war on the president. Rob gives you the facts about the National Guard in cities like Memphis, New York, Chicago, L.A., tells you the real truth about Jeffrey Epstein. He's also revealing the big media agenda on Trump's health. You need to watch Rob Finnerty on Newsmax. Check out your local cable system. Download the free Newsmax app. It costs nothing. You can watch in minutes. Finnerty, the fastest growing primetime news show in America. Find out why even President Trump is tuning in. More than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust, because we are real news for real people. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have been following some information from the University of North Georgia, and we first brought this story to you yesterday, and I got a note from our affiliate, WDUN, because they cover a massive swath of North Georgia with their massive signal. And we played some audio from a student who was very concerned about a textbook that she was given at the school. And the university now releasing a statement. We reached out to them yesterday, and they wouldn't talk to us. But now they're talking, and the reason why is all of you folks reached out and called. They say this from the University of North Georgia: we are aware of and understand the recent concerns raised about a passage in the textbook used in a senior-level public relations course. To be clear, the textbook is not describing Christians as white supremacists. The author's reference is to the Christian Identity Movement, a U.S.-based extremist group that misuses Christian symbols to promote hate. We recognize how this mention could be misinterpreted, and we are reviewing the matter. The University of North Georgia respects people of all beliefs and unequivocally rejects all forms of hate. I smell stink. I smell excrement, ladies and gentlemen, and a load of it coming from the University of North Georgia. It used to be known as North Georgia College, and I get the two mixed up, but it's the same school. Are you buying what they're selling? Let's go to the phone. Kimberly in Gainesville, Georgia. Kimberly, I understand your daughter went to the University of North Georgia.
Yes, she's still currently there. I actually have two daughters at the university, And Todd, first, thank you for having me on. Secondly, thank you for all you do. God bless you, and you are exactly right. This is a load of stink. Last semester, my daughter took U.S. History 1111, and this was that which is not a senior-level political or PR class. She was told, in fact, that she and her family, that due to the way she was raised and being Christian, are white supremacists, and had we been living in the 60s and 50s, we may have even, my father and her grandfather may have even been, and her daddy may have even been members of the KKK. That was said out loud to her. Yes, that was said by a professor last in the spring semester of this year to her. She tried to challenge the teacher in a very respectful manner because I've taught my children to speak out and speak up when they feel that as Christians we are degraded or demonized. And she said, excuse me, but I'd like to talk further about that, and I'm offended by that. And the teacher said, no, we're moving on. And would not allow she and the other students that were, there were other Christians in the class that wanted to speak up, but they were not allowed. And then in another sociology class, I want you to know that it's not just in U.S. history at UNG, that they do have a problem. And this is also, just so you know, University of North Georgia is the military school of Georgia. We have cadets getting trained there. They need to have the most patriotic professors at that school teaching about America, teaching about our foundations, and teaching about our Constitution and believing in it. We don't need anti-American and anti-religious anything at that school. And our children need to be able to have healthy debate within the classroom if a professor does, in fact, have that attitude. My daughter was also told in one class that the most important part of history and sociology of America, that some of the most important parts were the women's movement in the 50s and abortion were so important. And when my daughter asked the question, we're not in a women's studies class, why are we focusing so much on women's studies? It was, well, this is an important part of Americanism, and we just need to focus on this a lot.
Wow. Kimberly, there's a problem there, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. I suspect many other parents are listening, maybe students as well, that go to UNG, or maybe they have family members that go to UNG. But this has to be fixed, and you're right. It's unacceptable, and especially for a military college. Kimberly, I hate to do this, but we are coming up on a hard break, but I appreciate you calling in, and I want you to don't hang up just yet. I want to get your contact information if we could. Let's put Kimberly back on hold, and we'll reach out. AccessWDUN.com. They were able to talk to the young student who initially posted the video exposing all of this, and we'll get into some of that in the next hour. We're also going to take your calls as well. Are you a student at the University of North Georgia? Are you a parent? Do you have concerns that they are teaching the students there to be anti-white? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Unbelievable. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're juggling a lot of stories. Cash Patel is cussing like a sailor up on Capitol Hill, going toe-to-toe with Eric Swalwell. He was the guy shacking up with the Chinese spy known as Bang Bang. No, pardon me, that's what he was doing to the spy. Her name was Fang Fang. Sorry. It's Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? I don't know what day it is. Thank you, Dylan. It's been a long week. It really has. And we've got a lot going. Look, I'm heading out next week. This coming Saturday, flying out to Los Angeles. And if you still have time, I know it's a little bit late, but if you are in Los Angeles, you need to attend the 2025 Spiritual Leadership Conference. It is at West Coast Baptist College. I'll be speaking, and I'll be there pretty much all week. Fly back Wednesday, then fly out to North Carolina for the Salt and Light Conference. That's going to be a lot of fun. Then flying from the Salt and Light Conference to Waterloo. So all of you KXEL listeners, I'm coming to town for the big Republican dinner there, the America 250 dinner. I'll be keynoting there. Come back to Memphis, and then I'm back to Los Angeles for the Pacific Justice Institute Gala. I always MC that, and the keynote speaker is none other than Eric Trump. So it'll be good to catch up with Eric and see all of our good friends there in Southern California. So it's going to be an insane thing, and I've got a lot on my mind. Here's the thing. I'm trying to figure out, and this is a Todd Stearns problem. I really can't do life, you know, like basic stuff. And, for example, I need to go to the dry cleaners. Well, my day starts in the building at like 6 a.m. And by the time I get finished with the Newsmax show, it's 5 o'clock. And the dry cleaners is closed. Going to the drugstore, I just don't have a lot of time. No, Dylan. Dylan says get a wife.
That fixes everything.
Technically, it would. That's a fair point. Fair point. So anyway, all that to say, we got a lot going on. So I want to go back to this story that we told you about briefly. We had a lady calling from Gainesville, Georgia, and she says there's big problems at the University of North Georgia. She's got kids that go to school there. Yesterday, we played this audio from a young lady who was reading directly from a textbook. Now, our friends at AccessWDON.com, that's our great radio affiliate. They have a great website, incredible news team. Caleb Hutchins is the author of this story. And he writes that the video was posted by a student and to a TikTok account, and it raised concerns over the wording in a textbook titled International Public Relations, Negotiating Culture, Identity, and Power. The student cited an excerpt from Chapter 8 of the book that she said disparaged Christians. Identity may be one of the most contentious words of the new millennium. That's what the textbook said. An internet search produces the following modifiers for identity: corporate, sexual, digital, public, racial, national, brand, even Christian. And then in parentheses, a U.S.-based white supremacist group. Well, the student took great offense at that. And as we just heard from one of our callers from Gainesville, that's not the only class. So the university is saying, well, the student misunderstood. It was misinterpreted. They weren't attacking Christians, and the textbook was not describing Christians as white supremacists. I'm not buying that. Not buying that argument. And I'm curious, why are they even using a textbook that even is trying to make that argument? According to the student, her professor emailed the class and addressed concerns. She said while she appreciated her professor's efforts, she still takes issue with the passage of the book, and as well you should. My professor was nothing but kind. She came to me as a Christian and let me know after my explanation she did see where I was coming from. But at the end of the day, I think the book should be taken off the shelf and republished. Maybe just that one sentence, if they would go back and edit that, maybe I would support that. But just the way it was written was messed up, in my opinion, she told WDUN. I suspect that this is happening at colleges all across the nation, because many of them use the same sorts of textbooks, and most of those textbooks have been infiltrated with this radical ideology. But to think that it's happening in, of all places, the University of North Georgia, and you talk about a conservative area of the nation, that is one of the most conservative. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This story from California, where a student wearing a MAGA hat to honor Charlie Kirk got suspended. Cut number 8.
Right, Christine. Well, this happened on September 11th. You'll remember just the day before, on September 10th, is when Charlie Kirk was shot and killed. So the student says he wore the hat in a way of standing in solidarity with Kirk. But another student took the hat off his head, threw it in the trash. And it's what happened next, the school is claiming happened next, that got him suspended. Watch.
Zach Hornstein was studying at home Tuesday afternoon instead of in class at Laguna Beach High School. It's the first of his two-day suspension for harassment, something he says he didn't do. Last Thursday, he was wearing a Make America Great Again hat, he says in honor of Charlie Kirk. A girl pulled his hat off and threw it in the trash. Then, he says, she started using profanity to describe President Trump.
I made a joke towards them and I said, if you don't like it here, Canada's open borders, feel free to go.
A teacher told administrators he said something different.
They're saying that I told a group of girls to go back to where they came from. Which I never said that. When they called in the girl who was involved, she literally told them that I never said that.
Zach's mom, Janet, feels the school is targeting her son because of his political beliefs, placing blame on him, who she says was the original victim.
I think that it's a double standard. I think that kids who have certain political beliefs are held to a different standard than kids who have other political beliefs.
She says she is disappointed in how the school is handling the situation.
Yeah, I don't think either of these students should have been suspended, and we said that in our meeting. We said, you're punishing these students, and you're creating an environment of deeper hostility instead of creating an environment of dialogue.
Laguna Beach Unified said it cannot comment on student discipline matters, but sent Fox 11 a statement saying, when disputes arise on campus, schools must evaluate the behavior involved. California law defines the grounds for suspension, and we are reviewing the facts in this situation through that process to ensure it is handled fairly and consistently.
Now, a few things to note. The school's dress code does not prohibit students from wearing politically affiliated clothing, though Zach's mom says she feels it should prohibit that to avoid situations like this in which she feels her son is being unfairly targeted and treated. As we mentioned, she met with the principal today who is upholding that suspension. The family now weighing if they're going to bring this to the school board.
Wow. So the girl who physically assaulted, and I mean, the guy was describing a physical assault there, yet she's not going to be punished. He's being punished because he's a conservative kid. Unbelievable. This story out of Dearborn, Michigan. I've been following this. So there's a big controversy in Dearborn. They're wanting to rename a street, Osama something another street, and it's in honor of a publisher of an Arab-American publication. This guy, this publication, pro-Hamas, anti-Israel. And so one of the citizens rose up and said, no, this is not right. We can't be doing this. And so the guy goes to the local city council meeting there in Dearborn, Michigan. Ted Barham is the guy's name, and he's a Christian man. And he took exception to the fact that they were going to be renaming the street in honor of Osama Ziblani. I want you to take a listen.
Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel that's quite inappropriate.
You are an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know as mayor, you are not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city, because you are not somebody who believes in coexistence.
So that is Mayor Abdullah Akhmud. And Mayor Akhmud told the Christian citizen that he was not welcome in Dearborn, Michigan anymore. This is insanity. Insanity, ladies and gentlemen. But that's the reality of the situation there in Dearborn, which is a majority Muslim community now. This Christian man was told that he was a bigot. Now, according to the local reporting, this Arab-American publisher has a long history of being anti-Israel and supporting organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah, or at least writing nice things about them. So it does make you wonder what the heck is going on here. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going on, and it's not pretty. This is what the Islamification of America is going to look like. Because eventually they will overrun the Christians in America. I mean, that's just a matter of sheer numbers of births. The Christians are not having babies. Mormons, I think you guys are churning out a lot of kids. But the rest of us, no, we're not. Yeah. Even the Catholics. According to Mr. Barham, the publisher is a promoter of Hezbollah and Hamas. He talks about how the blood of the martyrs irrigates the land of Palestine, whether we're in Michigan or whether we are in Yemen. The publisher also said, according to Mr. Barham, believe me, everyone should fight within his means. They will fight with stones. Others will fight with guns. Others with planes and drones and rockets. Doesn't sound like a very peaceful person. Mr. Barham then compared the signs to naming a road Hezbollah Street or Hamas Street, calling them provocative, and stressed that as a Christian, he wanted to encourage peace. And he closed out by quoting Jesus, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And that's when the council erupted and the Muslim mayor said, "I can't wait for you to leave our city." This is what, again, the Islamification of a town looks like. And it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. Dearborn, by the way, the city with America's highest percentage of Muslim population. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Wow, there was a little hullabaloo just a few moments ago in the House Judiciary Committee, Kash Patel going to town. Let's take a listen.
This request basically is, it is an article from Reuters, which quotes law enforcement officers familiar with Reuters. Agents who once covered child Reuters. Exploitation Reuters. Cases, but now focus on immigration child exclusive, thousands of agents diverted to Trump immigration track down. Mr. Patel, in the short time I have left, your tenure as director of FBI has been somewhat problematic. Americans are left safe, left definitely less safe under your watch. You have gutted the FBI's ability to keep safe from domestic terrorism. You have sent FBI agents to conduct traffic stops and round up hardworking immigrants who pose no danger to public safety. People, even President Trump, referred to as good longtime workers. Your job is to protect and serve the American public.
Time to the gentlelady.
You spent your time protecting heinous individuals and using the FBI to serve as a political circus. You at times have appeared unequipped.
Time to the gentlelady.
This country deserves better, and I yield.
Gentlelady yields
May
back.
May I respond?
Sure can.
Simply put, what is it? Are we failing? If we're failing, how are we arresting 23,000 violent felons, twice as many as this time last year? Are we failing? Because if we're failing, how are we seizing 1,500 kilograms of meth, 25% increase from last year? Are we failing? Because we captured four top 10 FBI most wanted from around the world in 7 months. That's more than the entirety of the last administration. Are we failing? Because we put 1,500 child predators in prison. Are we failing? Because we dismantled 300 human trafficking networks. Which is it? You don't like me? That's fine. But don't you dare disparage the men and women of the FBI that are producing record results in historic fashion to protect this country. They are kicking ass for America, and they're going to continue to do so.
Good for you. Good for you, Kash Patel. And say what you want to, and I do have some leadership questions, but the FBI right now, they've been unleashed, and they're doing their job. And they're doing the job that we asked them to do and that we expect them to do. So I say good for you, Kash Patel. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here. This is Stephen Smith. You know, they're asking Stephen about the National Guard going to Chicago. It may be St. Louis because Trump is now saying that St. Louis is dealing with some hardships. But Stephen A. Smith says, hey, I got no problem sending the National Guard in.
In the city of Chicago, I don't give a damn what they say. I have no problem with sending in the National Guard. They were a problem before Obama got into office when he was a junior senator. They was a problem when he was in office for 8 years as a president. They've been a problem now, And I've seen black people come on television locally and nationally crying for support, whether it's the National Guard or whatever it takes. In other words, the city of Chicago has had ample opportunity to do something about it. And I do think it's a crisis in that city.
Yeah. So look, the funny thing here is you've got all of these Democrats that run these cities like Chicago. And they're saying, oh, crime is fine. There's nothing wrong here. But when you talk to the actual citizens, they're like, we're living in a war zone out here. The Memphis City Council just moments ago announced a resolution opposing the National Guard coming to Memphis. Well, I hate to break it to the City Council. They must think they're federal judges, and they think they've got more power than Donald J. Trump. Hate to break it to them. That's not going to work. It doesn't matter. You can pass resolutions till the cows come home, and the National Guard, they're going to be rolling down Beale Street. I want to play this from a Memphis resident. This is what I love about it. They're sending, we've got every news crew in America driving around Memphis right now, and they're interviewing all of these people, all of these residents. And to a person, they're all saying, thank God Donald Trump is sending help to Memphis. Cut number 7.
We need help. If it can save one life, I'm happy with it.
People could be concerned that they're, you know, it's not normal to see, you know, militarized people out in the street.
No, it's not. It's not normal. But I mean, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. They have to do what they can to kind of take back control of the city.
You hear the reporters, but, you know, people could get their feelings hurt, you know, or, you know, do you feel like you're going to be living in a militarized, you know, zone? Well, yeah, if it's going to keep me from getting shot, I got no problem with that. Cut number 4.
And, you know, it's just so dangerous that you can't get out of your car. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't go to the market or the service station. So, yeah, I want to see the crime stop. And if the National Guard is going to stop the crime, bring them out.
This whole BS about us being a divided nation, I don't buy it one bit. Thanks to these good people. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back. So the University of North Georgia under fire. Are they teaching kids to, like, be oppressed? Are they anti-white? What is going on there? Let's go to the phones. Galveston, Texas. Terry has a thought on Patriot Talk 920. All right, Terry, what's your take on this university?
Well, it appears they're trying to tie the students to their ancestors. And I was thinking that the ancestors of the Israelites were enslaved to the Africans for 430 years, where they had to build their monuments, and they don't tie the history to their ancestors, who also enslaved people to build their monuments and to do their work. And they seem to forget that Egypt is part of Africa, and those people enslaved people also to do their dirty work.
No. So look, I see where you're going with all of this, and I think if you're going to go down the reparations route, you have to go back to the origins of slavery, which, I mean, if you're going all the way back to the ancient biblical days. And, I mean, again, if you want to open up that can of worms, I think you have to. And you also have to go back to the African tribal kings and leaders who sold their own people into slavery, many of those sent to the United States of America. So, I think there's a valid argument to be made there.
Yes, sir. And that slave trade from Africa was since that time. It only, I think, per capita, only about 4-6% of the total African slave trade came to the United States. It was just a very small percentage that was performed by the Portuguese and the Spanish.
So again, if you want to teach that history, you have to teach all of the history, and they're not doing that.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
All right, Terry, good call. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926. HGTV. Do you watch HGTV? Dylan, does the wife have you watching, you know, the home improvement shows, the fixer-upper shows?
I was going to ask what that even was. No, not really.
You're kidding.
We watch, like, reality Love Island, like, that TV.
That's not good. Well, when you get a little bit older, I guess, in the relationship, you know, you're going to start watching these because you're going to have a honey-do list when you come home. You're not going to be able to play video games.
It's going to be building cabinets.
Building cabinets and putting down flooring and doing Lord knows what with something called shiplap. Is that even still a thing? I don't know.
I don't know.
So anyway, there's a very popular show hosted by Aaron and Ben Napier, and they're based in Laurel, Mississippi. It's called Hometown, and they go in and they, you know, fix up these homes. It's kind of like a Mississippi version of Fixer Upper before Chip and Joanna Gaines went woke. And so anyway, the Napiers, they have a huge following, and they're just good, good Christian people. So I have this up on the Todd Stern Substack page, and I'd encourage you to go in and read the story, but they're coming under fire. And the reason why is the most insane thing. Aaron Napier is a fan of Charlie Kirk, and so she wrote something about Charlie, and all you know what broke loose. And fans just lashed out. And they accused her of being a horrible human being. And so Aaron fired back. And she said, only the demonized celebrate death. And she basically told all of her supporters, hey, look, if you think that assassinating somebody because of their opinion is okay, you need to unfollow me right now. And so now the fans are threatening to stop buying her products, boycott her show. They even targeted her kids. She homeschools, by the way. But I got to tell you, a lot of people are supporting her, including Jenny Mars, who has her own HGTV show. And I say, good for you, Aaron, because it's I mean, this is just a matter of humanity and decency. So God bless you. God bless you. You got. And by the way, one lady actually wrote and she says, I just started following you because you were brave enough to take a stand. But can we just stop here for a moment? Stop here for just one moment. The idea that you have to be brave to stand up and condemn assassination, are you kidding? That's where we are in the culture, right? That's how insane and perverted our culture is. Anyway, she goes on to say that it's crazy, that people are upset with you because you refuse to celebrate murder. Just wanted to send you some love and encourage you for being a voice for reason and empathy. Really, I think sympathy is the word she probably wanted to use there, but good for you. All right, let's go to the phones. Elizabeth in Tallulah Falls, Georgia, and I understand that you have a child that went to UNG.
Yes, sir. My son is a graduate of UNG. He is now a pastor. He graduated, I guess, about 15 years ago, so things might have changed some. But at that time, he had professors that seemed to mock Christians and conservatives more than whatever is being proclaimed today. For example, he had a professor that would call Chick-fil-A Jesus Chicken. And then he had a psychology professor who would always ask, how did you vote or how are you going to vote in this election? And he would taunt the students that were going to vote as conservatives. So, yeah, this has been going on for a long time.
Wow. So the Jesus Chicken, I mean, was it said in a derogatory way? Because yours truly has called Chick-fil-A the official chicken of our Lord.
Yeah. And anybody that hears it from you knows that that's just Todd. But no, it was derogatory.
Oh, wow. That's not good.
And there's always been known to be a big community of gays and lesbian professors at UNG.
Really? Is that right? So you're talking at University of North Georgia?
Yes.
Wow. I never would have imagined.
Yeah. And my husband got a graduate degree there, and he noticed the same thing many years ago. But
a lot of Subaru drivers.
My son was well known around campus because he led a lot of Bible studies, and I think I already said this, he's a pastor today, and so he stood up for what was right, and I'm very proud of him.
You know, Elizabeth, I think the challenge would be if you're a parent and, you know, you live in North Georgia, and just about everybody there goes to church, they're Christians, not everybody, but just about, and you send your kid off to, say, University of North Georgia, you think they're going to be going there and getting a good education, and you would never, I think the average person would never suspect that there would be that sort of, you know, I guess, spirit or atmosphere at a university like that in North Georgia.
Correct. But I honestly believe what Charlie Kirk, if you've seen any of his clips about where he says, you know, college is just not the way to go anymore unless you go to Hillsdale, or he might have mentioned Liberty. But our other son, who graduated maybe 20 years ago from UGA, and he was, all of his professors attempted to really brainwash him into the progressive socialist mindset too. So, I mean, who would think in Georgia, you know,
it's right in the Bible Belt. No, Elizabeth, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I'm so glad that your kids came out okay after those experiences, because some don't. And I think when you look and when we finally get an understanding of what happened to Tyler Robinson and how he became radicalized, I think it's going to be a time for reflection for the good people of Utah to understand what's happening in their universities' settings. Elizabeth, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Had an opportunity last night on the Newsmax show to talk with our good friend, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Of course, she also sits on Senate Judiciary. Here's that conversation. Senator, you had a front row view to all of this. Your reaction to Akash Patel's testimony today covered a lot of subjects.
He was incredibly well prepared, and he didn't give in to the Democrats. You know, I thought it was so fascinating. They actually sat at the dais and complained that Akash Patel was taking FBI agents who've been sitting behind a desk for years, and he is sending them out to do work in the field, actually fighting and investigating crime. You know, the Democrats would rather have people that are sitting at a desk than have them out in the field doing their job. They are that given to the bureaucracy.
You know, Senator, we also learned today that from Senator Chuck Grassley that the FBI under the previous administration had specifically been targeting conservative organizations, including Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk. Your reaction to that?
Well, it is so distressing to hear, but it's not surprising. Arctic Frost was an investigation that an agent who was obviously a Democrat who was seeking to weaponize the FBI against a political opponent, Donald Trump. And so what they did was to develop this program where they were going to monitor certain Republican organizations and certain Republicans. And then they would use that information to come after Donald Trump. And this is what they used to actually pull together a basis, they thought, for Jack Smith to investigate Donald Trump. So it just shows you there's just no limit to what they're going to do to try to go at conservatives. And if they can weaponize the federal government and not get caught, they're going to do it. When they feel like they're getting caught, they're going to quickly resign like T. Bolt did after he was found out on Arctic Frost, go ahead and resign from the FBI so that they can preserve their pensions and try to preserve their reputations.
Senator, the rhetoric coming from the left, and especially these university campuses, you've been all over this. Of course, you were the target of a death threat just a few weeks ago from a university student. What do we do here? How do we fix what is broken in our universities?
And one of the things that we are going to have to review, that university presidents and chancellors need to review, is the curriculum. What courses are they offering? Who are they hiring to actually teach those? And then why are these individuals getting tenure? You know, the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, the professor that was terminated was the professor for queer anthropology. That is what they were teaching. And then you have another university, ETSU, that could put their professors on administrative leave. There were two of them, but they were barred from terminating them immediately because they had tenure. So these are all policies that need to be up for review. And I think the Tennessee General Assembly is planning to take these issues up this year. People have been astounded that you would have a university professor who is cheering a political assassination. And that professor is someone who is standing in front of students in the classroom. Todd, I cannot tell you how my phone was blowing up from people who were livid that this was happening and that we had people on our university campuses that were conducting themselves in this manner.
Senator, real quick, yesterday, a huge day for you in the White House, the Oval Office with President Trump, and of course, the president announcing that the National Guard is coming to Memphis. I will tell you, as a citizen of Memphis, you're going to be getting a hero's welcome as well, because it was really you forcing that issue that I think led the president to make the decision. What do you expect to see, and what is your message to, for example, the police chief and the mayors, the leadership here in the Memphis area?
This is a multi-prong approach, an interagency approach to helping Memphis with the crime issue. I gave Kash Patel, when he first came to see me, the stats, the crime stats, 2024 stats for Memphis. And I said, this is a fabulous city, a historic city, wonderful people. We need to work on this crime issue. And he gave me a public commitment when he was before us for his confirmation hearing. And I will tell you, he has been true to his word. Operation Viper was very successful, over 500 arrests, over 100 indictments. And now phase two of this project and getting this crime under control is to bring in the DEA and the U.S. Marshals and the ATF and Homeland Security and Department of Justice and the Tennessee Highway Patrol and the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. Todd, all working together, having the National Guard there to support the Memphis Police Department, to help them so that they have the ability to continue with the arrest. You know, Memphis has 100 gangs, and there are a lot of gangsters that are out there that need to be apprehended. So if the National Guard can help with logistics and traffic and desk work and some of those components to free up law enforcement officers to make these arrests, that is a very good thing. I understand that the Shelby County Jail is full, and I think they're going to have even more of a crowding situation.
All right, be sure to check in tonight. We will have the very latest on the Charlie Kirk assassination investigation also. We're going to be having a great conversation with Dalton Glasscock and Josh Jones. They'll be debating tonight as well. Our good friend Wyatt Cox from the Nevada Talk Network just sent me a video warning food porn.
And Dylan, I'm not sure what they're making in this tray, but they're putting steaks, like slabs of beef, into a pan that's filled with what looks to be about 5 pounds of melted butter.
Ooh.
With all the spices and everything. That looks mighty good. Anyway, it's apparently a foolproof way to make steaks. I guess anything cooked in butter.
Yeah, that's pretty safe, right?
You can't go wrong.
Just put it in butter.
Mm-hmm. That's it. But they're doing the big tomahawk, you know, steak, the ones with the bone.
Is he just trying to make you hungry?
I don't know what the deal is here.
Thanks, Wyatt.
Yeah, but it's really distracting. I'm trying to host a radio program here, a national radio program. You can't be drooling on the microphone for crying out loud. All right, we got to get out of here. It's been a great day. Head over to ToddStearns.com, ladies and gentlemen. All sorts of great information. Hey, join our Substack, ToddStearns.substack.com. Take out a paid subscription for that. You're going to get the content advertising free. All right, we will see you tonight on Newsmax. Get out there. You be safe. You be good, America.